You are education manager with the Palo Alto Humane Society in beautiful Palo Alto, California. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having us on today. We're always happy to speak with you and to give information to your listeners.
Well, we love having Palo Alto on, and we thank you very much for being with us. And so, first of all, tell us a little bit about what the Palo Alto Humane Society is trying to accomplish.
Okay, Palo Alto Humane Society, just to give you a very brief overview, has been around for, it's going to be 113 years this year. And we've always been dedicated to helping animals locally. We've also participated in advocacy programs nationally, statewide, and even beyond. Our major focus is community outreach, and through that, what we're doing right now, reaching out to your audience, as well as reaching out to students through school programs, seniors, senior centers, community events, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. We are one of the few shelters that does not operate, we're one of the few humane societies that does not operate a shelter. So our focus is on different areas. We supplement work of the shelters by providing care through our vet programs, our veterinary care programs, through spay-neuter vouchers, through working with lower-income residents who need help in emergency situations with their pets, and helping rescue groups and shelters rescue more pets.
How do you make sure that your local shelter is really doing a good job? Is that a problem? Is that something you have to closely watch over?
I think we have to watch all the shelters in our in the area we serve. We just don't serve only Palo Alto. We serve the whole Mid Peninsula, and we have helped people as far north as South San Francisco, over in the East Bay, even down in your area. So we keep an eye on what shelters are doing, because so many people call us. We're like answer so many phone calls. We have a hotline, and we point people to their local shelters when it's an issue that has to be dealt with by animal control or the shelter itself.
And you do a remarkably good job of that.
What
do we want to talk about today? Parvo was one of the topics you suggested. I have Laura here to help with questions. Do we want to start down the parvo line, or where would you like to go?
Introduce why we're doing this. We are doing more work in community outreach, especially during COVID-19. And as you might be aware, shelters are actually almost empty of pets at this time. So people are looking for pets, and we want to make sure that if they get pets that don't come from a shelter or a reputable rescue group, that they know how to take care of them, because shelters and rescue groups make sure that pets that they adopt out are healthy, have received their vaccines, have been spayed and neutered, and are ready to go to homes. But because there is such a dearth of animals that are available for adoption, people have been going to less than reputable sources. Some breeders aren't as good as others. Friends and family who might not be able to afford proper care for the animals they're giving away or gifting to people. And we want to make sure that everyone's aware of what needs to be done to adopt safely adopt a healthy pet.
Now, Leonore.
I'm
saying your name wrong.
I
noticed on the website that there's a / puppy health. Is that something new now, or?
We have begun this campaign just a couple of weeks ago. It's up on our website. If you go to our website, paloaltohumane.org, it's one of the rotating banners, and you can just click on Learn More and find out what we're proposing, what we're doing to help puppy owners or people who want to adopt puppies.
Okay. And is this where we find out about parvovirus? Or
yes. Our main focus here, in addition to puppy health in general, is parvovirus, because parvovirus, as you know, is a very dangerous disease, especially to puppies, also to adult dogs.
So what are some of the symptoms of parvovirus?
Parvovirus comes on as the dog feels terrible, generally. They're noticeably ill. They lose energy. They vomit. They have diarrhea. And they can move from seemingly healthy one day to at death's door within 1 to 2 days afterwards.
Wow. And are these symptoms on that site also? Yes. So that okay, good. So how is it transmitted?
It's transmitted from other dogs. That's why we're telling people to keep their puppies inside, away from unvaccinated dogs, until they are vaccinated. And it's not just transmitted from face-to-face or touching contact. If an infected dog, I hate to say it, poops outside and your unvaccinated puppy goes and sniffs it or steps in it or something, he is in extreme danger for developing parvovirus.
I just did an article on the necessary, why it's so necessary to pick up poop, and parvovirus was one of the things that, because it goes into the ground then after the dog poops, right?
Yes, and it's in the ground for quite a while. Dogs can step there, then lick themselves and get infected if they are not vaccinated.
Yeah, how effective is the vaccination for parvo in dogs?
It is definitely effective. A dog who has been fully vaccinated against parvo will not get it.
So the real thing here is, yes, clean up, be a good citizen, but make sure that your dog and every dog your dog has contact with really gets vaccinated for parvo.
Yes. That's why if you take your dog to the dog park, you should be careful. You should keep him on leash, and you should only let him visit with other dog friends who you know their people have had them vaccinated.
And that's another important requirement that lots of dog common areas, parks and whatever, that attract lots of dogs, you're not going to see a sign. Don't bring your dog in if it's not parvo vaccinated. But really, that needs to be a rule at these places, doesn't it?
Yes, I think it does need to be a rule. It should be propagated through signs, through ordinances, and at vet offices, and on websites like ours.
Because we can do better by dogs, but if we don't vaccinate them against the killer diseases, and that's really serious, folks, killer diseases that can end our animals' lives. I mean, think about that. Is not getting a parvo vaccine because you don't quite understand parvo, or you haven't seen it yet, or it's not common enough where you live, is it worth it not to get vaccinated from something that can rapidly kill your dog? And even if it doesn't, will be very expensive.
Yes. It's definitely required to get a parvo virus. A vaccination, and as I mentioned before, good rescue groups and shelters will make sure that their dogs are vaccinated before they are adopted out. It's all these other gray areas that people are turning to now that you're not sure what to do. That's why when you get a new puppy or a dog, and dog doesn't come from a shelter, or a reputable rescue group, you should go immediately to the vet. Have the vet examine the dog and follow the vet's instructions about inoculations, about visits, and be very careful where you take your dog. Don't let him outside until he's fully vaccinated.
And it really, really does matter. Laura, you have more dog experience, I guess, than I do.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
And maybe I'm going to be the devil's advocate. There's two sides. When you say don't take your dog out, there's a span of time where your dog needs to have socialization. And I'm not saying with other dogs. I'm saying like all the senses, you know, getting it used to sounds and smells and those kind of things. Are you helping people for that when they're keeping their dog in their home? Because that worries me, too, as a trainer.
Yes, that it's important to take him out, but until he's vaccinated to the point where the vet says it's okay to walk him outside, I would always err on the side of caution. But you can carry your dog outside, a small puppy, and let him experience the sights and sounds. You can make sure that if you let him run around, it's in an area that you've cleaned up and you've sanitized, so he gets that experience as well.
And how do you sanitize, like, an area?
Well, you can use a bleach that's diluted water to sanitize. Household cleaners aren't effective, really, to kill the virus, but bleach would work. So if you use bleach at a 1:30 dilution ratio, it will work on surfaces to kill the virus. But you should never wash your dog in bleach or tell him to lick bleach. I mean, that is dreadfully dangerous for a dog. That could cause him to die.
That's good. So how can we prevent parvo?
Vaccination.
Okay. And really, you know, that and then being cautious. I mean, they have to wait a certain time. They can't just get vaccinated right away. They have to wait till they're a certain age, right?
Yes. They have to be, I think, a month or 2 months old. So that's why it's so important to keep your puppy inside and carry him outside until he starts getting vaccinated.
That makes so much sense. So are there places where, I mean, do you have a list where pet owners can take their puppies and dogs for these vaccinations?
Yes, we suggest calling chain pet stores because they often have low-cost vaccination clinics or vets coming into the store. Of course, with COVID, you have to be careful. You need to make an appointment in advance, wear a mask, keep your distance, but they still are vaccinating. We also suggest calling your local shelter, and some of the shelters are vaccinating, some aren't. That depends on the particular shelter and their COVID restrictions or rules around visits. We also suggest that if people are very low income and cannot afford to vaccinate, that they contact us and perhaps we could help them. We examine each request on a case-by-case basis.
I have to say, you are very thorough. I mean, this is a wonderful opportunity for pet owners. So that's amazing. Are there other programs that you're proud of?
Yeah, well, in conjunction with Parvo and puppy care in general, we're also promoting research, student research, about puppy mills. Just about June or July of this year, we published a monograph written by a middle school student about puppy mills. And it's very revealing. It shows how these puppy mills do not care for their dogs. They're unvaccinated. They're not treated well. They're not fed well. The parent dogs are in dreadful condition. So we want to make people aware of this because since so many vets, so many people are adopting from shelters and rescue groups, there's a scarcity of puppies and dogs. So people are resorting to, oh, my friend has one, or someone I know, or I've seen it on Craigslist, or I can buy a dog from this breeder that's advertising. And you don't know what circumstances the dog is coming from. So you need to visit the vet immediately after getting a dog that's not from a shelter or from a reputable rescue group. And a shelter or rescue group will let you know how many vaccines the dog or puppy has received, what has to be done next, and will provide you with all that information and will always be available to answer questions about that.
That's very good information.
And yeah, that's all tremendously important for your new dog, because you can't just go get a dog anywhere, particularly now. Maybe it was possible in the past, but today there are so many ways your dog can get sick, can die. Any number of bad things can happen because you adopted your dog or cat from the wrong place. And what we're trying to promote, go ahead.
Yeah, we're trying to promote people's awareness that such places exist, how to avoid these places, and if they get a cat or a dog who is not well, that they should take the cat or dog to the vet immediately.
And I hate to say don't take these animals, because I wish we could. I wish we could all go out, get an animal from a place that's not the best, and that would close all of those places, and all of those pets would get better care. The problem is they run them like businesses. And as long as the animals continue to disappear, and particularly if money comes in, it's not going to get any better.
No, it isn't. And if you read our report on puppy mills, that states exactly what you said.
And it's terrible. But it shows how cruel some of these puppy mill operators are, that they really don't give a damn about what happens to the dog or the cat once it leaves them. In fact, often, you know, if you read the reports, they ship sick animals. All kinds of things happen, and you are so much better off going to your local shelter. And you can go in, ask them a couple of questions, and figure out real quick, are they a good shelter? Or your local rescue, you can ask them a few questions real quick and find out that they're an acceptable shelter. And that's where you should get all of your animals from. You should adopt animals only from people who truly care about the animals that they're adopting out.
Now, we're not saying that all breeders are bad. Some of them are very good and very careful and very conscientious. But there are so many who aren't. And they keep their dogs and puppies, cats, kittens in conditions that are dreadful.
Well, if you can go to somebody's house and meet the parent or parents of this puppy you want to adopt, you're probably... Is it fair to say you're probably in okay shape because you're not going to a big breeding farm or something like that? You're going to meet the owner?
Yeah, you might be in okay shape, especially if you see that the parents are healthy, the puppies are in a good and clean environment, they're not allowed to roam outside, they're well taken care of, they're well fed. But even with that in mind, if you get a new animal, please take them to the vet.
And those people will have references. They'll have vets that will say good things for them about their animals. So you can check references. You can get more information. And, you know, that's what we're here to tell you today. And for you particularly, listeners, I know you know what to do. But tell your friends. Invite them to listen to this program so we can help educate them with you to do right by their dogs and cats.
Yes, we also have PSAs, public service announcements, in English and Spanish, and I can email them to you so you could see what we say.
Sure, send them to me. Yeah, I'd love to hear.
Definitely will, right after I get off. We'd also, you asked about other programs that we have. One of the things we're going to introduce very soon is our story writing contest. And in fact, the last year's winner of the story writing contest wrote about, from the dog's perspective, a mother dog's experience in a puppy mill. And that will soon be out on our website. And it's a heartbreaking story, but it really shows what an animal goes through in places like that. And it makes you realize that you need to do things, get regulations in place, be careful to close down these situations.
And we're now out of time. How does somebody get in touch with the Palo Alto Humane Society?
You can go to our website, which is paloaltohumane, all one word, .org. Our contact information will be there. If you want our phone number, it's 650-424-1901.
Thank you very much.
Give a Facebook page?
Yes, Palo Alto Humane Society.
Okay, thank you.
On Facebook. Hey.
Yeah, we shared your notice on Facebook this week.
Hey, I'm going to mispronounce your name, so say your first name for me again.
Leonor.
Okay.
I
can't do all those fun pronunciations and rolling R's and stuff. I'm just a kid from Dallas who never learned to do any of that. Ms. Delgado, education manager at the Palo Alto Humane Society, a very large and successful group that is not just about Palo Alto. I always have to remind myself that they are really a regional organization based in Palo Alto that works throughout Northern California doing good deeds, and we appreciate your coming on to our program, and we will have you back on again soon.
Yes, thank you.